God some praise. Come on and give him some praise. He's worthy to be praised. Praise his holy name. You may be seated. Open your Bibles up to Book of John, chapter 8. Book of John, chapter 8, verse number 5. Reads like this. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. This is Jesus talking to these unbelievers and these doubters and Sadducees and Pharisees and devout Jews and all of these who don't believe he is Christ. And he was telling them that I know him. In other words, he knew the Father. And I want to talk to you tonight about one thing that Christians need. I won't say one thing, but it is a thing that we need above all, and that's to get to know him. Paul said, I'd like to know him in the power of his resurrection. In order for you to know somebody, in order for you to please them, you got to find out what it is that pleases them. You got to know the knowledge of God. Like I told you before, when I got saved, I didn't know how to live this life that I was embarking up on. I was just starting at the beginning of it. But I had to learn about Christ. I had to learn about his knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge lets you and helps you to be sure what you're doing. Sure in whom you believe. It helps you to be aware of all the things that are around you, all the circumstances that are in your life. It helped me to be aware that I was still in this world, but I had to learn that I was not a part of this world. So I had to get to know God. Knowledge of God is to consider or to have knowledge or understanding. Now I'm going to use a human parable like Jesus did a whole lot of times. He used the natural things of life. In other words, he told you a little story. So I'm going to tell you a little story. If you're planning on driving a car, you first got to learn how to drive it. You got to go to class and get some what? Instructions or some knowledge and understanding. The Bible says in all your getting, get understanding. Get the wisdom, get the knowledge, but get understanding. But a lot of people, they just go to get the driver's license. They don't have an understanding. You need to have some knowledge about that car that you're driving. You need to know how to put the brakes on when you need to put the brakes on. You need to know how to park that bad boy. Because if you can't pass that parking test, you can't pass the test. You got to know that car. And most of all, you got to know yourself in that car. But a lot of people just go get the license. You got to know how to have some respect on the road for others. Jesus didn't do anything without the knowledge of the Father. He said, what I hear from the Father, that I do. He said, I don't do anything that's not of the Father. He said, the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father, and we are one. If you are one with somebody, you know them. I've been married to my wife for 35 years. I know her according to the flesh. I know her. I know her according to her walk in God. I know her. Before we get married, I had to find out a lot of things. I had to get to know her. What she liked. What she liked to eat. What she liked to wear. See, all of these things line up with the Word of God. Because God is concerned about our entire being. He said, in him do we live and move and have our entire being in him. So there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that we have need of that God has not already poured into you. People are still looking for something else outside of the Word of God. I call it outside the Word of God because they're always, I'm looking for a fresh word. I'm looking for this and I'm looking for that. God is always a fresh word. He's life everlasting. And God done poured everything into you and I that he's going to pour in. What he wants us to do is become that cup of overflowing. When Moses said, I don't know how to talk to them people. I don't know how to talk to Pharaoh and all this. What I'm going to tell them, who sent me down here to do all this? He said, you tell them I am that I am. God done poured himself, all of himself into you and I, the great I am. Everything is on the inside that we have need of. But God wants us to start overflowing. So if the great I am is in you, then you have a right to say I am a child of God. If the great I am is in you, then you have a right to say I'm healed by the stripes of God. See, everything is in you that you have need of. The Bible said, but you got to call forth those things that are not as though they are. You got to know him, and you got to understand what you got on the inside of you. A lot of people say, well, I know God. Well, that's not the end of it. It's a continual thing in God. It's a lifestyle that we live. And this life is not yet ended, so we got to know about our life that we're living right now. Why you say that? Because only thing that we can see right now is the present. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow is. But if we trust in God, we don't have to worry about those things. Why? Because everything that we have need of is in us. So if I'm going to reach tomorrow, it's already in there. Glory to God. If I'm going to need healing tomorrow, it's already there. But right now, God is the right now God. If I need healing right now, I can call up on his name and he'll answer me and show me those great and mighty things that's on the inside of me. The only way you're going to know about this thing is the Holy Ghost got to reveal unto you the knowledge and the wisdom and the direction and the instruction. And got to let you know that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some praise. A lot of people don't know they're a child of God. You got everything that you have need of on the inside. But you got to get to know what it is. That's why God says, study and show yourself approved. Study so that you can know. Study so that you can learn. Study so that you can understand. So when the power of God speaks to you, you won't call it the devil. So when somebody get in your face and start talking about you and gossiping and perhaps cuss you out, glory to God, you won't soon fall. Why? Because you got the great I am on the inside. And you don't have to listen to all those other voices because there's only one voice, and that's God. And God is dwelling on the inside of his children. Jesus is trying to tell them, no, you don't know me. He told them, Pharisees, you don't know me. They call him a devil two times. more than two times over there. They called him a devil because he was talking to them. And you know, he was telling them, he said, whosoever keep my sayings or keep my word keep will have my wisdom and knowledge, what he was trying to tell them. But they didn't want to keep that word. And you know, they called him a devil. He said, if I'm a devil, you know, he said, if I'm not the true God, then if I say to you that I am God, that I know him, and if I say to you that I don't know him, then I mean that I'm a liar. Well, the devil is a liar. He told him, he said, they that keep my sayings shall not feel or experience or know the sting of death. Oh, they didn't like that. They really wanted to get him. Why? Because they didn't understand what he was talking about. They immediately jumped on Abraham, their father. And they said, our father Abraham is dead. So what they're trying to get across to Jesus, well, if he's dead, who are you? If Abraham died, what makes you think you can't die? But they didn't know that they was looking at the resurrection and the life. They didn't know that they was looking at life eternal. What Jesus was saying, you're not going to die, you're going to be in the resurrection. He said, you have not known him. That is, you haven't got to know him yet. When you get to know him in the power of his might. See, God is not looking for a congregation just to come to church and take this word, make this book a book of words, listen to the choir sing and hit those different kind of notes like we was hitting at night. God is not looking for public worship. God is looking for a vessel that is not made by hand. The temple that he erected by his knowledge and his wisdom. God is looking for that temple. He want to fill that temple up. He want the praise in there. He want the worship in that temple. And that's the temple God is looking for. And when you know him in the power of his might, you won't go church hopping, glory to God. You won't go gossiping, glory to God. You won't go talking about your brother, glory to God. You won't lay down at night with things up on your mind that you can't solve. You'll turn them over to God before you lay down. Why? Because you know him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you don't know God, I'm going to say, if you don't know God, how can you please him? How can you please God if you don't know him? It's just like you invite somebody over to dinner. You got to find out what they lacked instead of just cooking up a bunch of food. Now that ain't for everybody, you know, for me, you can just cook. It don't matter. I'll find something to eat. Well, I don't have no problem with that. You know, but it touches your spirit because you try to find out what they lack so you can have that particular thing on the table when they come. Or when you buy a person a present at Christmas time, a birthday, or whatever, you try to find out what they like. And it's hard to find out things about a human being. The only somebody know about those things is God Almighty. He said, I know the heart of man. I try his reign. I give unto every man according to the deeds done in this body upon this earth. So you try to cook the food that pleases them people. Or you try to buy the present. You take a married couple, and if they don't know what you like, pastor, a married couple, they'll buy you a bunch of dishes. They try to stay neutral. Well, they can use this. They'll buy you a bunch of dishes. They'll stay neutral in it. Or if they gonna buy you some cologne, and that's a hard thing to do. They try to find out what you lack. They'll stay neutral. Or they'll buy you something that's so insignificant, glory to God. And you know, you don't have the heart to tell them that you don't like it. So you keep it. And when you agree and keep it, then it pleases them and it pleases you. Now you ain't got to tell them to their face that you don't like that thing. Now I know you're going, when you get behind their back, you're going to say, well, what, you know, all that stuff. But that's not important. To please God, you got to please him. You got to find out what God lacks and what he don't like. He don't like sin. What is sin? He don't like hate. He don't like backbiting. He don't like liars. See, you got to find out whether or not God, what he likes and what pleases him. A lot of people don't know that he don't like liars because they keep lying. You got to know God. You got to know what pleases. The Bible said that we got to be pleasing in his eyes. When you're pleasing in the eyes of God, then you can walk worthily before him, uprightly, and God won't hold any good thing back from his people. Turn with me to 1 John. Fifth chapter. Verse number 20. It says, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him. Like that part. We are in him. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. How do you know you're in God unless you find out the feelings of God toward you? He said, I commended my love toward you while yet that we were sinners, Christ died for us and we were saved, delivered, and set free. But it's more than salvation. You got to find out how to quit lying. You got to find out how to quit hating. And you can't do this no 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. 35 years down the road, you're still lying. Why? Because the old nature, the natural man, can't discern the spiritual things of God because they are spiritual. So it takes the revelation of God to reveal to you about his word. He said, and you know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him. See, God said, I won't hold back nothing from you. You got to get to know God. And there's no limit to knowing him. In other words, there's no end. You know, I can find out about a lot of people, but there's always an end to it. What do you mean? I might not like their ways. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end of it. I might not like the way they act. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end of it. See, there's always an end to the human nature. But there's no end to God. The Bible says he's past finding out. I can find out a lot of things by you that's looking at you sometimes. I can find out a lot. I can find out and tell you your attitude ain't good. By just looking at you. I can tell you about yourself by talking to you. Glory to God. I can tell something about you in your conversation. What you talking about, the government or whatever you're talking about. I can tell something about you. But in order for me to know about God, in order for me to know how to please God, I got to study to show myself approved. I got to find out what he likes and what he don't like. I got to find out what pleases him. I got to find out about his holiness. I got to find out about the righteousness of God. I got to find out about his perfect will for my life. I got to find out about his power. I got to find out about his peace and his joy. I got to find out about that love that's on the inside. I got to know him for myself, glory to God. Why? Because it's a personal relationship, and you got to take that personal relationship and you got to keep building up on it and building up on it and building up on it. Why? Because because this is the way of life. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some praise. How do we know God? Study, show yourself approved. Only way you can know him is through the word. Even when we pray, we need God. We think sometimes we know God because we pray. But if the Spirit don't come in and give you revelation and show you how to pray like you ought to, because he know what you have need of, then that means you got to still do some more study so you can get to know who he is. And when you get to know God, and knowing God is studying God and seeking God every day. See, we can see right now, but we don't know nothing about tomorrow, but God does. That's why the scripture said, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow, take thought of itself. Today is at hand. The night is far spent. The work is to be done right now. You got to study right now. You got to know God right now. You can't get it all in the preaching. You can't get it all in the teaching. You got to have a personal relationship with him. You got to fellowship with God for yourself, glory to God, because my needs are not like yours and your needs are not like mine. So you need a personal relationship with the Father. You got to know what the Father got to have. You got to know what the Father is offering you. You got to know whether the Father can heal you. You got to know, glory to God, he might have healed me of a headache, but you got cancer, glory to God. So you got to have faith that God is still the healer. No matter what the sickness is, no matter what the disease is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation is, God is God and there's none else. He's all power in heaven and earth. There's none like him, glory to God. There's nothing to stand before him, glory to God. He is that light on the inside of us, glory to God. And when the light come in, darkness got to flee. When the light come in, you no more sick, glory to God. When the light come in, you have peace, glory to God. When the light come into your life and you begin to know that light, you can see your way because God is the way. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some praise. Close. Go to Colossians. Chapter 1. Verse number 9. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk what? Worthy. See, this is the purpose here. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all what? Pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, we are always learning about God. The Bible says that we must what? Die daily. We got to decrease so that God can increase, so that we can be pleasing before him. See, if you're not pleasing in his eyes, no sense in you asking God in all of those prayers you've been praying, expecting God to answer them, when you didn't give him a chance to say anything in the prayer. He said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. You got to know the will of God in your life. You can't get your will mixed up with God's will, because God, see, God don't work with that. He don't work with your will. He don't need your will. God never needed us for anything. He created the heavens and earth. He didn't need us. God is God all by himself. But he took a vessel one day, Brother Dennis, and he poured himself into that vessel. That's you and I. All of himself. When Jesus came, he poured himself in us. the king, the priest, the prophet. To let us know that we have everything in us that we have need of. That's all of his power, his might, all of his love. We have his ways. We just have to find out about his ways. We have to lay aside every weight and be sin that does so easily beset us and run this race with patience, looking unto who? Looking unto the author and the finisher, looking unto the one that holds all knowledge in his hand, looking unto the one that has all understanding, looking unto the one that know the way, looking unto the one that know about this lifestyle that we're supposed to be living, looking unto the one that know our weakness, glory to God, looking unto him, glory to God, that can strengthen us in our weakness, looking unto him, the author and the finisher. Why? Because he's a name above every name. He's a God and there's only one God. Glory to God. He's a healer and there's only one healer. Ha-kum-o-mo-shaka. He is the doctor in the midnight hour. He is the doctor in the daytime. He's the doctor in the noontime. He's doctor all the time. He not only can he heal your body, but he can heal your mind. Not only can he heal your emotion, glory to God, but he can take care of your feelings, glory to God. Not only can he heal you, glory to God in the power of his might, but God can deliver you and set you free and so that you can glorify his name in this earth. Hallelujah. That's the purpose. He's given us his word and revealed himself to us on purpose so that we can study to show ourselves approved and find out what pleases him and what do not please him. We try to please our friends more than God. But I read one scripture I was reading the other day where he called them, he said, my friends. Before Israel was his people, he took the my off of them and said, thy people. But when Jesus came, since they rejected him, that didn't stop the move of God. He just put them aside. And because the glory of God had to keep moving. And so he found another vessel. Glory to God to fill up. It was another nation that he had called dogs, hallelujah, and he raised them up and he filled them up with the gospel, filled them with the word, and the word is still going forth. Glory to God. God won't hold back nothing from you as long as you walk uprightly before him. He held Israel back. Why? Because they rejected him. But if you rejected God, I don't care how long you've been saved, if you rejected God, he won't dwell with you. If you reject God, God will reject you, glory to God. You'll be just like when you went to school, glory to God. When you rejected and refused to be obedient in the schoolroom, the teacher would take you and sit you in the corner and put a cap on your head and call you a dunce, glory to God. And you didn't have no participation in the classroom anymore. If you reject God, you don't have no part in the promise, glory to God. If you reject him, God can't move on your life. If you reject him, you'll miss your healing, glory to God. If you reject him, glory to God, God will reject you. That's why he says study to show yourself proof on a continual basis. You got to learn about God and seek God. Glory to God. Come on and give him some praise. The only way you're going to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to what? His glorious power. And all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Before the service started tonight, Sister Metcalf was saying, I rejoice in the Lord. And she was saying, you know what that rejoicing is? It means do it again. It's reproduction over and over again. It's all in us. The joy is already in us. All we got to do is start praising God. All we got to do is be a true worship before God. Just don't come to church to be coming to church, glory to God. There are a whole lot of church people, a whole lot of pew sitters, glory to God. But God is looking for someone who want to lay down their life so that they can find it, glory to God. God is looking for somebody who he can pour himself into that's already in there. God want to stir up what's already on the inside of you, glory to God, so that you can glorify his name in the earth, so that you can live among people in this world, glory to God, and they can't harm you. They can't hurt you, glory to God. And anything that come against you, God will move it out of your way, glory to God. I don't care what the enemy bring before you. I don't care what he do to you. God will move it out of your way. Why? Because you're his child and your child and his child only. Hallelujah. Everybody's name.